The Bernstein and Rahimi Show. Middays 9 a.m. to noon on The Score. Reasonable, level-headed, informed sports talk for your workday. Dan Bernstein.
This is written by Mark Conkle, the former Sun-Timesman and Pulitzer Prize winner. He reports, Matt Nagy will coach his last game for the Bears on Thanksgiving in Detroit. A top source with knowledge of the decision told Patch.
That is not accurate. You know, I have not, I have great communication with ownership, with George and Ted and Ryan, but I have not had any discussions.
Mark Conkle of Patch.com.
It's kind of just fell in my lap, but it's a very good source.
This is a bell that cannot be unrung. It already was getting to that point yesterday. If the Bears ever were going to do this in season, this is the time, this is that situation to do it. And it seems like at least someone up there has beaten me to the punch.
The Bernstein and Rahimi Show.
Again, we are locked in on Detroit, 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 Detroit.
Middays, 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Happy pre-Thanksgiving Wednesday to you. Wow, what a day yesterday, and that is propagating into today as well. As we broadcast live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers, this is the Bernstein and Rahimi Show, but you only get Bernstein today. It's just us for the next little while, and we've got plenty to do and plenty to follow as we keep you covered on all of it. So we're going to talk to Mike Florio at 10 o'clock. We're going to actually carve out a little moment for a palate cleanser. It's going to be the equivalent of like a grapefruit sorbet. And that's going to be a little bit of Bulls talk because the Bulls have what should be a road cakewalk tonight against an execrable Houston team. But we'll talk about what that last loss meant and sort of where they are right now because they've been immensely entertaining, and we hope that they will be. So just we'll try if we can. And knowing the Bears, they'll make it so we can't do that because they interfere with our lives and they make us all miserable. But we're going to try to do that at 20 after 10 o'clock. Hub Arkish will join us at 11, and he will take your phone calls. So that should be fun. We have a very special treat for you at the end of the show today that you're not going to want to miss. 312-644-6767. That is the Score listener line, powered by BetQL. Bet smarter. Beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. If you want to send an email, fire away. BernsteinRahimi at 670thescore.com. That's where you go to listen to us live because we're streaming at 670thescore.com. I know it was jumping yesterday. Wow, some of that stuff where we were just watching the audience just start to balloon as the story was breaking. Sometimes you have one of those really memorable radio days when it breaks just as you get on the air, and it's luckily I've had that happen to me where it's definitely something very much not sports, but this just being sports does make it fun and interesting because you never know once that plane is in the air where you're gonna take it, where it's gonna go, where it's gonna land. And fun day yesterday when all was said and done. I was glued to the station all day because you never knew. There was always stuff. You know, you put on Lawrence, you put on Parkins and Spiegel. It was a really good day to be a Score listener yesterday because of all the hard work that everybody put in. So, yeah, we're streaming 670thescore.com. Your texting goes to the text zone, brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com. When you text, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter is at Bernstein Rahimi. I'm at Dan_Bernstein. Make sure you download the Odyssey app. I have it on my phone. I was going back and listening to some of Brad Biggs because I let myself sleep in a little bit today because the kid doesn't have school. I don't have to drop him at the red line, so it's all good. It's also contributing to the fact that I don't know what hour it is or what day it is, and maybe because I'm half of Terry Bohr's Christmas drunk as well. But when you download the Odyssey app, you can stream the Score on your mobile devices, interact with the show and the station on Facebook if you want to make yourself completely miserable. And if you don't, you can enjoy our Twitch feed, which is at twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. There's a lot of work done by our video staff there. That is Evan Thomas and Connor O'Donnell, who not only direct the video feed, but also handle moderating the Twitch chat as we have conversations within conversations and sort of, it's hard to follow, but there are the occasional witty line, the occasional or more than occasional non sequitur. But that is a fun place to be to add to the texture of your Score experience. That was a we're still following what's going on, but if it's me, And I don't know how things work at Halas Hall. We just know more how they don't work than how they do. But just fire him. It's over. Everyone knows it's over. Whatever your plan was, however ham-handedly it came out, it got leaked yesterday. You got scooped. And you want to quibble about some of the details, and after the fact you can manage that how you want. But whatever that late in the day Tribune report from Brad Biggs and Dan Wiederer and everybody else, things were strange there. Everybody knew it was when he's canceling meetings and he's Nagy is grandstanding about it, you know, breaking the huddle, saying family, the fact that there was a meeting. What I was told is there is a discrepancy in some of the semantics here, which is the least surprising thing possible with the Bears, that the double talk of the Nagy press conference yesterday, and it was that was class A authentic frontier gibberish that we heard right there, that this has been a discrepancy in what told means. Matt Nagy was, at no point was there a formal declaration of, this is it, I bang my fist on the table and you will be coaching your last game. You have been so informed. Here endeth the lesson. And the gavel comes down. It's not like that. He has, as I was, as it was explained to me, shouldn't use the word told again, he's very aware that he's done. That he is aware that at least, at the very least, at the end of the season, he's done. And that understanding has now infected the entire building. Everybody knows he's done. And now what happens, just so you know sort of the behind the scenes here, when you fly out to do a game, both teams meet with the broadcast crew. You meet with the play-by-play guy. You meet with the game analyst, you meet with the sideline reporter, and usually the executive producer. And they sit in a room, and it's presumed, there is an assumption, there is a shared understanding that it is off the record. You don't take it directly to air. It's to inform you, it's for your edification, and it is the best opportunity for anybody involved in those situations to spin things how they want them spun. That's why you heard these odes to Ryan Pace being spun by Tony Romo as if he's, you know, got a halo and playing a lyre on the clouds. It was silly. And it happens because you get that time to say, hey, you don't know what's really going on. Here's let me tell you what's really happening. So if you're Nagy and they put you on that plane, you do a little walkthrough where he's going to be completely disconnected from what's going on, with basically half a roster is going to be traveling. Then he goes and sits down, and that gives him carte blanche. There's nobody over his shoulder. There's nobody policing him. That gives him his chance to say, if I'm going to coach in this league again, here's what I want the nation to know about how things go down here. And you plant all kinds of seeds. And he's savvy enough, too. I'm not saying it's in bad faith, necessarily, that you would never work again in the league if you go scorched earth. Let me tell you about this guy. Let me tell you what's on his computer and who he's talking to on his phone. It's not going to be like that. But there is a way that you make your pitch for, because let me explain to you how things have gone here and why we are where we are. And he is savvy enough politically to do that. As an organization, just don't let it happen. Don't let it happen. You're going to have to, there's a severance arrangement. Anyway, you should be on the phone with his agent right now saying, how can we do this? That we want to get this done. And the agent says, hey, give me every last dollar. And maybe you just say, fine, what do you care? You're moving to Arlington Heights. Your franchise value is going through the roof every year. Just make it go away. You tell him, thanks. You announce it with a two-line press release. Chris Tabor is in charge. And if Chris Tabor walks into that room with Buck and Aikman, big deal. Then you don't have an entire afternoon of digging into everything that's wrong with the franchise. And then when things happen on the field and they say, well, isn't this just indicative of a coach who didn't have the ear of his players? So, and that, what's funny is we presume that. And I was having a conversation with somebody this morning, well before the show, about how football it would be that even if they keep, and they'll probably end up, you know, keeping Nagy because they don't care, and all of this is completely lost in the Chicago Bears. And they have people who advise them. There are people inside the organization, outside the organization, who consult with the organization, who tell them, you should do this, you should do that. And they're nice about it, and they nod and say, okay, thank you, and then nothing. Because that's just the way it's been for 40 years or more, at least since I've been around the team. And it would be so football for the Bears to win like 22-6. Just because of variance, just because of football, just because of dead cat bounce and what the hell, and some of these things happen. But this is a simple thing for the organization to take this off the table and just calm the, you know, turn the heat down a little bit. And one of the ways you do that is you tell Matt to bring everything in his desk with him, and you take his key card, and that everybody goes home, and you play a football game that is just that. You make it just a football game, which is all we want it to be anyway. I'm going to be, you know, parboiling Brussels sprouts and sauteing them with the perfect amount of good olive oil and crispy bacon and golden garlic and chicken stock, and simmering that down until the edges of the Brussels sprouts just have a little bit of darkening edges around them. Man, it's just, oh, it's so good. Don't you meh me. I'm sorry. The only thing about my Brussels sprouts
is that they're Brussels sprouts.
I love them dearly, but I've made them, I'm probably going on close to 20 years of making this for our family Thanksgiving. If you look at them, you will start farting. If you think about them, I mean, even listening to this right now, just the fact that you're listening to this right now, you are going to start feeling the pressure of fulminant, intense gas. And you have to look at that as a feature and not a bug. That's what I've learned, that you've got to own it. You have to lean into it, that's a part
Literally.
Of it. And I do to lean away from it. But the one thing I've learned about them, they're great damn Brussels sprouts. But it moves everything along. It's part of the balancing your Thanksgiving food chakras. Is it chakra or chakra? I think it's a hard CH. Getting everything aligned properly to make sure that you have the 4-day digestion, including leftovers, including everything else. But that's what I used to consider a downside. And now I think the more that you look at them, think about them as they're cooking, you know, the kids always joke about it. They're like, oh, here we go. And everyone loves them. But that's just a part of it. And that's when the Bears are on. That's all I'm doing. It's just a Bears game. It could be anything. It could be a movie I've seen 100 times at that point. That's what Bears Lions is to me. It could be whatever movie Shawshanks you, or whether it's Tombstone or Rocky IV or Alien, you know, any of those movies, like, oh, this movie, oh, it's the third act of My Cousin Vinny is starting. That it's Bears Lions.
I think you're giving the Bears Lions too much credit by comparing them to those movies. It needs to be like, oh, Gone in 60 Seconds is on. Okay. I get Shawshanked by that, even though I know the movie's not very good.
Okay. Oh, so the Bears Lions on Thanksgiving has to, okay, what's our absolute perfect comp? And this is going to be your age will show here, because obviously Gone in 60 Seconds isn't anything that's going to be on my radar screen. But I'm trying to think about something that is, oh, it's so bad. I don't know. Die Hard 2?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yup. Is it Die Hard 2? You're like, oh, this movie's awful. It's such a bad movie.
It really is.
But it's got Fred Thompson in it. Okay, boys, stack them, pack them, and rack them. That is any little Fred. Well, he plays the same guy. He plays Fred Thompson in every movie. But and it has Dennis Franz doing a Chicago accent in the middle of Washington, D.C.
It's so over the top.
Oh, how about the fact that they have snowmobiles ready in Virginia?
Yes.
It's like, how many once-in-a-lifetime unicorn snowstorms would you have a snowmobile war? As if they're in Siberia. You're in suburban Virginia, and you've prepared with snowmobiles. And then they're in a police station, and a guy fires 36 rounds of blank bullets in the middle of a police station without being completely perforated.
I mean, but it's good to be white.
Exactly. But that's not. Wait, was it? I'm trying to. Was it a white guy? Or was it one of their token black guys?
No, it was Bruce Willis.
It was Bruce Willis shooting at Dennis Franz,
yes,
right?
Yes, because he did it to prove the point that they were blanks, right, like the red versus the blue tape on the rounds.
He flipped over the magazines that were taped together, right?
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes. And for the 708, it says, Nighthawks, not bad enough. U.S. Marshals, great call.
Yes.
Great call on you. Yes. Bears Lions is the equivalent of the terribly overacted U.S. Marshals. Okay, let's make The Fugitive, but not as tightly edited and way overacted. Deal. It's like they have to they start spraying all the scenery with like sweet syrup just so Robert Downey Jr. and Tommy Lee Jones can chew everything in every scene.
Wild Wild West is on TV way too much and that movie sucks out loud.
Oh, the text line's going crazy right now. Under Siege, no, Under Siege is too good. I watched it in its entirety two nights ago. Hand in the
Drumline,
air.
Yes, even as a band person, that movie is so unrealistic, and yet I'll still watch it.
Cobra is a good nomination. That is, but that's what Bears Lions is, and the Bears can make sure that's all it is. If you just have Chris Tabor, no one knows who Chris Tabor is. Nobody cares about Chris Tabor. Chris Tabor gets home to his own Thanksgiving, and they say, who are you, and why are you eating here? Because that's all you want it to be. Instead of some referendum on how miserable you are as an organization, just don't let him get on that plane.
I
also,
got
we're,
it.
We're at the end of Casablanca. Yes?
Bears Lions is White Chicks.
Never seen it. That's the Wayans brothers in Whiteface.
Yes, and you have like Terry Crews singing, and yeah, it's like towards the beginning of the Terry Crews thing for a while.
Okay. Yep. This is it for I will trust you for a different generation. That's perfect. But man, that is U.S. Marshals and Die Hard 2, I think, are probably right there for it. Next up, Brad Biggs was awesome this morning. And that's a guy who was reporting on this all day yesterday. So I think you should hear what he had to say. We'll break it down next on The Score.
That don't sound comical thinking about it.
Honesty, you know, from all of us. That's how you go through this thing, is you're just honest as to where you're at, how you can get things better, how you work through things. And there's a respect process to that, too, you know what I mean, from both sides. So from everybody, whether it's players, coaches, coaches, players, ownership, this is the territory that we're in.
Yeah, not for long. That's love the homage to Detroit for Matt Nagy. And his Bears coaching time will be remembered as a guy you always rooted for. You wanted him to do well, and I still want him to do well, and he's fine. And I guess his experience as an NFL head coach, I don't know if he's ever going to get another bite at that apple, but he's going out, unfortunately, in a way that is he's not going to remember it particularly fondly, I don't think. I mean, the best thing the organization can do is cut him a check for whatever he's got left, say goodbye, and then let tomorrow play out the way it's going to play out. I can't believe it took me 26 years being on these airwaves to come up with the idea of what movie is the Bears Lions comp, because on Twitter and on the text line and in the Twitch chat, everywhere else, people are really enjoying this. I'm kicking myself for not having found it before, but sometimes you just you back your way into these things. Dan Bernstein with you on the Bernstein and Rahimi Show here on this Wednesday. Brad Biggs makes a very regular appearance on with Mully and Haw on the Score airwaves in the morning, and he was material today because he did a lot of reporting yesterday. So this is Brad Biggs on trying to answer the primary question: what the hell's going on with the Bears right now?
Listen, there's way, way, way too much money at stake for Matt Nagy to resign, okay? That ain't happening. If they want to fire him, they can go right ahead, and he's owed money through the end of the 2022 season. If they find a way to deliver the winless 0-9-1 Detroit Lions their first victory, I think it happens very quickly. Is it a Lane Kiffin on the tarmac situation? Maybe not, but certainly by Friday morning, if they win the game, I think it could still happen, because this is just kind of taking over all the possible storylines at Hallis Hall right now, and it's become really an inevitability before the kickoff of you know, they've got 7 games left, and and it's headed down this path. And it just, you know, from the team not responding to it yesterday to sending out the special teams coordinator to handle it first. I mean, the Bears are fortunate. Chris Tabor is a pretty polished guy, you know, and composed and sharp, because when the special teams guy is the first guy handling the questions for the, you've really gone in the wrong order, right?
It's hard to look at Matt Nagy being fired as in order either. I mean, there right. should be more than one guy in line, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, it's it would all be done, I think, for the Bears to try to take advantage of a rule change in the NFL, which allows teams to interview head coaching candidates in the final 2 weeks of the season. We're now in a year where you get to what we call week 18, right? You got 17 regular season games and a bye, okay? So if the Bears are potentially going to interview candidates to become their next head coach, that could begin as early as week 17. And getting rid of Nagy before then obviously allows them to really dial down on some homework to try to vet some potential candidates, watch how some of these guys operate in their specific roles, wherever they're at, and then request permission to talk to these guys. I mean, it's not, you could request permission to talk to super hot assistant number one, and his employer, wherever he's at, could deny it. Like, they could turn you down and say, yeah, no, this isn't a good week for us. We've got a game Sunday afternoon with first place on the line, or we're playing for a bye. But that would be why you do this early, and it just seems like the Bears are going to do it extra early because it's out of control. They've lost five games in a row. They've blown the last two games in the final minute, and you're not seeing any real production or improvement on offense, where they rank near the bottom of the league in every category that does not involve rushing the football.
Ryan Pace is 45-61 since taking over as GM. They have yet to celebrate a playoff victory during his regime. When you look at Matt Nagy getting fired, you have to wonder about the future of Ryan Pace. And even though it, to me, would be inexplicable, how conceivable? These are the Bears, so we have seen the inexplicable be executed before. What are you hearing about the future of Ryan Pace? And if Matt Nagy indeed is fired, would it be Ryan Pace delivering the news?
I don't think it would be Ryan Pace delivering the news, no. No, I think a call to fire the coach in season from an organization that's never fired a coach in season before has to come from ownership, right? There's no doubt in my mind. That's a George McCaskey task right there. We're hearing considerably less about Pace and his future. I mean, we're not even seeing from him, right? His status would be, yeah, you look at that and you say, barring a miraculous turnaround to end this year, he's going to have one winning season on his record after 7 years. But the ownership holds him in very high regard. They credit him with a expansion project at Halas Hall that's made it one of the finest facilities in the entire league, that cost the organization well over $100 million. To execute, and he was kind of the vision behind it. And they like what he's done with the scouting staff and the training staff. So I think his future is a lot less clear. You know, the Nagy situation, we can see which path that is headed down. But I think they would need to explain, yeah, Pace is sticking around because of this, because we're going to slightly adjust this, or because he's done this especially well. I don't know. All the chatter is about Nagy right now, and I would have thought that they would be a package deal, and I'm not convinced that's necessarily the case as we sit here entering Thanksgiving weekend.
Wow. I think they eventually will be. And the changes that will occur at Halas Hall, I think, will run deeper than just this current coaching to do. But it's amazing how those two linked themselves to each other to save their jobs. We collaborate. It's so collaborative. We work together, basically saying you can't fire all of us. When they, of course, they could have fired all of them, but they didn't want to because they made it too heavy of a lift. And now once it gets ugly, maybe not so much. Now you have Matt Nagy sort of defiantly having his team break the huddle, saying family altogether, when that has a darker and more sarcastic meaning, maybe, as everybody's fighting for their own jobs. And you are going to let Matt Nagy get off an airplane, finish a walkthrough, and go in and be your forward-facing representative of your team in your meetings with the number one crew on Fox. That's a decision. That is an organizational decision that is very, very curious to me. But these are the Bears. It has never mattered. There's never been any consequences for any of these sort of behaviors, where all of the best practices and best advice from crisis PR people, from longtime sports PR people, or anybody that runs businesses where they care about their brand, it doesn't matter. The brand is bulletproof. The business, because of us, is bulletproof. They don't need to care about how they are perceived, and they're going to have a hell of a Thursday, one way or another, tomorrow. I think we get to enjoy it on our terms, which gives us a little more power than they have, perhaps. 312-644-6767. Dan Bernstein with you on the Bernstein and Rahimi Show. This is Mario in Hyde Park. Mario, how you been, man?
Hey, man, I'm good. Thank you for asking. Happy Thanksgiving, brother,
to you
and your family.
You too.
So the movie, the movie's not going to be as good as everybody else's, but I say Demolition Man, because that movie was terrible. I think the Bears are just dumb enough that they let him get on that plane, they let him coach that loss tomorrow, and then they fire him immediately after the game. They don't wait for the Friday news dump because they don't know what the hell they're doing. They give Chicago a chance to see Stan Albeck get fired twice. I think that's exactly what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't see him getting out and ahead of it. They have no, like you said, they have no desire to be liked or proven right. They just want to make sure that the money doesn't stop and that the franchise, you know, continues to roll. They're the worst of the worst, yet we continue to watch. And I'm going to leave until the day comes that there's an expansion team given to the city of Chicago. This is what we're stuck with. We're getting the chance to see Stan Albeck get fired twice.
Here, you're not going to see an expansion team. I don't believe. I know people have enjoyed talking about it. Actually, our next guest, Mike Florio, has talked about that as well. But at this point, we just have to sit back and enjoy Bears dysfunction and misery for the entertainment that it is. If we're going to own our own responsibility for it and contributions to it, I don't think there's any way off this hamster wheel. A note here from Stonecutter, who's always good. He said, Bears Lions, if it's a movie tomorrow, it's executive decision, in which a plane gets hijacked by, all caps, Algerian terrorists led by David Suchet, who have smuggled a biological weapon on board, and a team of definitely not Delta Force agents is dispatched in an experimental F-117 that docks with the 747 and allows not Delta Force to enter a flying 747 from below, which only works up until the second to last member gets on board before the connection breaks, killing the second billing Steven Seagal 15 minutes into the film. Meanwhile, Kurt Russell and flight attendant Halle Berry team up to take out the terrorists, while Oliver Platt goes full Oliver Platt in the cargo hold, trying to disarm the bomb while chewing on a straw, which serves as the film's magic screwdriver and Chekhov's gun. That's Thanksgiving Bears Lions. Stupid, pointless, stretching credulity, feeling like something that could have been made 25 years ago, but is occasionally entertaining, and this year might feature the end of the second build cast member. Oh, hey, and just like executive decision, this means a new coach and probably new GM will be inheriting a quarterback they didn't pick. This scene is only in the director's cut. The conclusion there, go Bears. Mike Florio joins us next on The Score.